Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. This is episode 54, so we got something special today, mostly in relation to episode 52. But if this is your first time listening, welcome. Please remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends. And I am joined today by my relentless co-hosts, Rob and Corey. How are you guys doing?
Appreciate that, definitely. Thank you for having us again. Oh, yeah. There it is. Yeah, I didn't want to say it this time because
You stole it last week.
Well, I didn't steal it. I was waiting for you, and then like somebody's got to do it. So,
all right. Now that we've had our introductions, no more fun. Okay, so yeah, again,
zero podcast.
If you're new to the podcast, we actually get a lot of new listeners every week, which is pretty interesting. So, thank you for joining. We do segments here. So the first segment is always about collection. The second segment is about some type of meta discussion. And then the third is our main topic or, you know, main storyline, which today is going to be back to basics part two. It's going to be a more advanced topic. So, okay. But before we get into any of the segments, as some of you are, if you're a recurring listener, are already aware, we had a giveaway at episode 52 for the year anniversary. And that included a bunch of different prizes. So there was a raffle that was opened at that time. It's been open for 2 weeks now. So we've given a lot of people enough time, I think, if you're an avid listener, to respond to the Google Forms. If you think two weeks is not enough time, let me know. But I think 2 weeks is good at this point.
Fair.
It's been worth.
I think 1 week. You can get into the next week. I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. And then. So I have to remember to put my mouth next to the mic. So there are five prizes here. There is a Home 1 Prestige foil card. There is a foil set for rare bases. Thank you, Corey, for those two cards. Yeah. We also have the Luke, Vader, and Grogu event exclusives from year 1 and 2, or pre-year, actually, like the one Gen Con 2 years ago and Gen Con from last year, which I actually didn't realize how much those were worth. Not that I'm taking it back, but like, oh my gosh, like $15 a pop. And the leaders are, and then it's like $5 for the Grogu or whatever. But like, who knew?
Nice.
Yeah, man. Collection time. Then we have some sector qualifier exclusive cards. So you're going to get a full set of those for sector qualifiers. There was five or six cards, I forget, which includes like Agent Kallus, alternate art card, Admiral Akbar, Red 5, Han Solo from set one, and then something, but I forget. Oh, Chewbacca. I think it's Chewbacca. I don't know. I forget. But you're getting all of them, so no complaints. And we're paying for shipping, so, you know, that's here you go. And then the last one is a regional qualifier, Piet sleeves and deck box. So people were allowed to vote for or raffle for each of these, and we're going to just go do that real quickly. So I got a random generator here on my computer. So the first winner.
What are we raffling off
first?
For the Home 1 Prestige foil card, the winner is Joe Corona Gmail. So
congrats, Joe.
Congratulations. Coming your way. Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations on winning that. We will send it to you relatively soon. I just need to, you know, it's late at night. I can't send it now, you know. All right, so the next one is going to be the set for foil rare bases. Let's see what we got here. Let's generate. We got the fish.
The fish.
The fish.
Awesome.
That's so funny. I will mark this down. So congratulations for the set for rare bases. Awesome. Congratulations.
I wonder if he identifies more as like a bass or maybe like a carp.
I don't know, man. But that's a cool name. I love it. I love when people don't have like there's history there, you know what I'm saying? The Vader and Luke Grogu event exclusive cards is going to go to...
Should have got a drum roll here.
Oh, all right.
There we go. Oh.
Forest 89.
Forest 89. Congrats.
Forest 89. Congrats. Let me just mark this off in my computer. Congratulations to you, Forest. You know? Next one, Sector Qualifier Exclusives. Let's do this one.
It's a big one here.
Yeah, it's a big one. Patrick Tremblay. So
congrats, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick. Yo, Patrick Tremblay. Like, I should do a better job of saying these. I'm like so focused on my computer. I'm like zoned in. I'm like, all right, I gotta do this. His name is
Patrick. Yeah, YouTube video watchers. You gotta check out.
His name is Patrick.
Yeah, watch his very, very focused face.
Focused. No drum roll that time.
Yeah. All
right. Let's go. We need a drum
roll.
He didn't tell me he was doing it. Okay. Is
sorry.
He doing it now?
And the last one is
the Piet stuff.
The Piet sleeves and box. John Bone. Sorry.
Sorry. The faces are great.
Oh, my God.
watch the YouTube.
If you just want to see my face for the first 5 minutes, I guess. So, John Bone. Bane? I don't know. John. You'll know who you are.
Congrats, John.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank you guys so much for your listening. And thank you for participating. I hope you enjoy the prizes. Tell your friends about the podcast. And I hope you keep listening, you know, because...
Yeah, we're going to have plenty more giveaways and things coming up. I feel like it pays to be a participant and listener here. So
Yeah. So
hopefully we get a bunch of subscribers after Galactics, and then we can actually raffle off that
convention pack.
Yeah, the convention
dude,
pack.
Dude, the convention pack. So again, if you're a new listener, you already tell we give stuff away, even though we don't make a lot of money. But like the 500 subscriber, like when we get hit 500 subscribers on YouTube, I'm gonna raffle off 2024 Galactic, not Galactic Championship, convention pack. A convention pack, which is a sealed box. It's in this original plastic and has like six Force users.
Six Dark Side
yep, Force users. This year is the droids, so last year is like really, really cool. And so we'll do it then. And I think that one will be like really, I don't know. I'll come in as like dressed as like Vader or something. I don't know. We'll do something crazy.
Make it big. 500 subscribers. Big,
500?
Big,
yeah, you know, I don't think any of us are really like, you know, super tryhards with content creation, so
you're the hardest working podcast host in the business.
Thanks. I reached out to Xander the other day on email. I fully expect to get ignored because we're not at like a couple thousand subscribers or anything yet. But at the end of the day, you got the worst you can say is no.
Keep going, getting at it though.
Yeah,
that's all that matters. So
yeah. Okay.
But, we're also gonna have a Patreon that I'd love to do a digi break for Patreon.
Tell me more.
Which would be cool. So like we just started it, so like we want to kind of celebrate we're launching this digi break thing here. And so once we hit 10 like paid tiered members at the Patreon, we're gonna do a digi break for those 10 members. And so how that works is you get a number. And then we're going to open a bunch of packs, including Carbonite packs. We're going to do some, I'm hoping to do some Legend of Force Carbonite packs also. But we're definitely going to get Jump to Late Speed Carbonite packs in there. And you're going to get a chance to pull cards from those packs, which essentially you just get a number, whatever the card collector number is at the end. So if your card is like 1, 2, 3, I think Sabine's Masterpiece, or so whatever it is, it's like 1, 2, 3. You're going to, if you're in the 3 slot, you get that card.
That's
so sick. Like, It's just a lot of fun, and we'll do a recording for it, and we'll post it up for you guys so you can watch and see what numbers you get and what cards you hit, and then we'll send them to you. So,
dude,
that's for Patreon.
When you told me you were gonna break out carbonite packs, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, seriously, I was like, I guess, you know, we actually just did a break for our we have some Patreon supporters,
yeah.
And I just opened some crap. I just opened a box, and like, they each got assigned a pack. So, like, before our, mm-hmm. you know, I even opened them, so someone pulled a Vader. Congrats, Ian. That's by the way,
dude, that's awesome.
Amazing. that's pretty cool.
But so dude, check that out. Hopefully, we can get to 10 quickly. Yeah, depends on when we do it, but I think we'll have some carbonites in there from Jump to Light Speed and. I'm going to do Force on the Legend of the Force too. So at Sick. Least two of each.
Sick. Awesome, dude. Thanks for that. So anyway, look forward to all these new stuff outside, on top of the conversations, which let's go into the segments. So the first one is collections. What do you got for us, Corey?
Oh, well, actually, speaking of carbonite packs, because I did manage to obtain some, I couldn't not open some carbonite packs. And I did pull, which is the one card I really wanted to get was a Devastator in the foil. Obviously, if it was serialized, that'd be even better. But the foil Devastator is such a cool card. Dude. I'm really happy that we got that pull. So I'm excited for that. I got a whole bunch of hyperspace stuff too, which as they do, and a bunch of foils as well. But they're not as exciting. So yeah. But like I said, we can't not. Show off the Devastator because that's a cool card.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Gotta get you a Pringles can for all those foils.
Seriously. But we also got a whole bunch of new showcases as well as prestige cards. Now, we talked about carbonite packs before. We're gonna get some new prestige cards. And if you thought they did a cool job with some of the like double frames and like triple frame cards in with the ships, some of these new force units, they're making like Alan, what do you call that? Like when you put in them Dix. Together?
Yeah, triptychs or diptychs.
Triptychs and diptychs. Thank you. That's
yeah.
Wait, what'd you say? Cool. So, with Gazuntite?
Triptychs.
Wait, what?
Bless you.
Triptychs and diptychs. Diptychs are two.
And the trips are three.
Triptych is three. That's like the term people use for these panel arts.
Yes, yeah, yeah. On the stream, the Xander was talking about it.
That's I know he said it. I was like, okay. Anyway, okay, but, sorry. Yeah,
definitely check out our Discord has the Swooniverse news, and you can see all of them there. Also, our Blue Sky, we post them up on there on social media as well. But they have the triptychs of Mace, Yoda, and. Who's the third guy in there?
Ki-Adi Mundi?
It was Ki-Adi Mundi.
I couldn't remember. What the heck? It's like blinking. Of course I had to pick that one.
Which did you see? So someone pointed out Yoda's face. Sorry for interrupting. So someone pointed out Yoda's face looks like really janky. I thought it looked good. Then you look like if you zoom in really close, it looks like he's like staring into your soul. I mean, we can talk about it later.
I mean, he is like looking because he's in that like the drop ship. This is like the Clone Wars scene where they're all dropping down and he's in the ship and he is kind of like looking down. But like when I saw that for the first time, this triptych, like I'm like, oh, that's cool, Mace and Ki-Adi Mundi. And then like, who's the middle card? It's like, oh, it's Yoda. He's like so small.
So
like,
far away.
I get he's a small guy, but damn.
Because he's on the drop ship.
Yeah, but it's just like he's a little small. I couldn't even tell he was there for a moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Vincent Dutrait does great art. He's he does board game art a lot, and he's done a few cards in the set as well as last set he did a few ships, like the Prestige Houndstooth and the Prestige Banshee. But he's doing the father, the son, and the daughter.
Hmm.
Which is, I think it's the direct, it's the playmat. If you
it is the playmat,
yeah, it's gorgeous. So yeah, that's one that I definitely want to get the prestiges for.
Mm-hmm.
That and like selfishly, I'm probably going to be playing Shin Hati and Balin Skull. So always looking to get play sets of those as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I mean these, and I can. Check out them on the Swooniverse news channel and Discord. They did such a good job with these. But like the other ones that they had, like the dark side characters, some of the dark side characters with just like the purple background. It's like, really? That's what we're going to get for those guys? The 9 card? Like, what's it? Who I don't even remember who they were. Like,
dude.
Kylo or something.
You got me.
They're so forgettable.
Let's talk about Kylo though. The new Kylo showcase is interesting.
The most kissable lips on a car.
Oh, he got some blue steel action going on.
Blue steel, yeah, yeah. No, that's 100% correct. You know what that means? The value of that card is going to be high because they're going to put that next to Rey from set two, and you're going to have like this.
Oh,
you know,
because they are both. Is it? He's in the forest, right?
He's in the forest in that one.
They're completing the set. Which do you think these? Do you think the showcases before I even get to the serialized cards? Do you think the showcases are going to be similar in value to like set four?
They're going to be more. They're so much more common now because of the carbonites. Not that much more common, but they're more common enough. I think the value on the showcases went down just a little bit as we were seeing in set four. Like even the really playable ones were still only like 200-ish, 250.
That's
pretty
good though. I mean,
yeah.
If you're over $200, that's really good.
But compare that to
we're not ever going to see Spark of Rebellion.
Yeah, I was going to say compare that to like Spark of Rebellion prices, and that was nuts. I mean, even now, like some of them are still incredibly valuable.
Nothing's going like nothing's over $300 anymore. I don't think.
So you think we're going to settle? You think we're going to settle?
Yeah, I think they're sitting around $300, but yeah.
Yeah. So future sets, the best showcases, maybe like another 1,000 or so, I guess, because she's playable, is going to be like $200.
Playable is going to be a big factor. Like having a card playable and be popular in the meta is going to be a huge factor as far as how much you're going to be paying for it, right?
Yeah. I have a feeling Anakin's probably going to be up there just because he potentially can be a powerhouse. I don't know.
I'm curious about like Qui-Gon popular probably. Characters as well. Like I was gonna say, Maul might be an interesting one. If depending again, they also have to look cool. want to see a like the Luke showcase. People just like memeing that thing because it just.
Hey, don't you disparage zombie Luke? I wanted to make him work so bad. I don't remember if I talked about this, but like I pulled him. I pulled a Luke showcase, and I had a store showdown the next day, and I was like, I'm going to make this work just because I wanted to play Zombie Luke, and it was terrible, but and I didn't win a game with him, but that was fine. I got to play with Zombie Luke.
So let's make sure we understand the differences, especially if there's anyone relatively new. So there's a set four Luke Skywalker, who's a pilot unit that we're talking about that looks like a zombie. Set one has a showcase, but it's only getting, you're only, unless you won or top aided or was the top level top ranked out of top 64 Luke or Vader, that you get the showcase, which they didn't even get anyway. They have to wait until like later anyway, but they're going to be available. The set one showcases are going to be available at the Galactic Championships, which is at the end of July in Las Vegas, and those I think are going to go for like $500.
I think those are going to be pretty popular and also expensive.
What do you think
is going to be the most expensive showcase out of this new set?
Cool. Out of this upcoming set?
Yeah, Legends of Force.
I have a feeling it's probably going to be Qui-Gon.
Really?
Because I think constructed, he's just cracked.
Qui-Gon?
Like that bounce ability. Well, Qui-Gon or Kanan. One of the two.
Dude, not Darth Revan?
No, not Darth Revan.
Because no one wants to play him.
I love Darth Revan. I think he's.
His card is gorgeous. Like, but I still think he's garbage.
Yeah. Barriss Offee. I don't know.
I want to love Barriss, but I have a feeling her ability is just a little bit too clunky. But I think Qui-Gon is just going to be straight cracked. I think there's a sneaky possibility that like Kit Fisto might be good.
I don't know. That's controversial. Okay, hold on. We're going into meta talk.
I was gonna say, Gil, I do want to spoil one other collection thing, and I'm just gonna show the very tops of these. So I'm gonna kind of sneak this up into my camera. But there are gonna be some collectibles.
So yeah, if you're not on YouTube, he just showed the tops of potential Padawan Unlimited collector cards.
Exclusive
cards. set of three.
Can you collect them all?
Yeah, I gotta collect them all. We'll post some pictures once they get printed. If they get printed, I don't know. We'll see.
We got stickers now, so we got that.
I do have stickers. We have to have a Padawan Unlimited like collecting like thing where like if you get a sticker, you have some of the original sleeves. I don't know the cards. It's like all these collectible items.
Show us what you got.
I don't actually have the stickers.
Show us your swag
in another room. I don't want to leave the podcast. Okay.
Well, I think real quick. I think Obi-Wan might be a sneaky, pricey one, and then I think Maul, just because he's so popular as a character, is going to be up there as well.
Yeah.
Even though his other one was not good, this is original Maul.
Yeah. Oh yeah. With the
teaser trailer from Phantom Duel Menace Fates, pose. Man. Duel of Fates pose. Yeah.
Come on. Well, but like I don't know what the showcase.
That's the regular art. So like we haven't even seen. Have we seen the showcase for this mall?
We haven't seen it.
No. Yeah. I'm thinking that for collection and investment purposes, if you get a Mother Talzin right away, sell it right away, because everyone's on that car. Everyone's on that leader right now, doing all the testing and stuff. And it's gonna have a big splash, you know. And the first major tournament, like there's not gonna be any major tournaments really.
Like, until Galactics.
Until Galactics, you know. That are, like, officially sanctioned in that, like, they're, like, a planetary qualifier or something, you know. Like, not going to happen until Galactics. And then, if it does well in Galactics, Gen Con's the week after. So that's... And they're doing special events there. So I think Mother Talzin's going to be the one you want to get and sell, like, immediately from your for your collection. Okay. All right. So any last thoughts?
Speaking of leaders.
Let's move on to... Made a discussion. For this segment, I think we'll talk about draft leaders for set 5, Legends of the Force. Drafting, again, if you're relatively new, is a form of play for Star Wars Unlimited, where you essentially circulate cards from packs that you open and you rip. I'm not gonna go into too much detail. I have other episodes for that. So if you look into history, but there's a drafting strategy, and it's a limited card pool, and limited leaders. So let's talk about that. Rob, what do you got for us?
Yeah. So with this set, I think there's going to be two. Well, it's draft, but I think you also want to think about sealed a little bit, because all of the pre-release events are going to be sealed events. But when it comes to draft events, because you're picking your leaders, you can be a little bit more, and you can be a little bit more selective in the cards that you get. Some of the leaders that require specific cards become a little bit more live. Whereas in constructed, you really want to kind of focus in on leaders that maybe don't require keywords, because you're just going to, or specific types of cards, because you're just going to get whatever you get out of the packs. With that being said, I think there are a couple interesting leaders in this set for draft. I think, as Gil, you've been mentioning, I think Talzin is just going to be strong, kind of all the way around, both in constructed, for standard play, and then also in draft, because you'll be able to get enough force units to turn her ability on, all the time. On the flip side of that, I think Kanan's good in both versions, because he doesn't require you to use force. He just is an action that you pay something for. And typically in both sealed and draft, sometimes you're going to be playing off curve, so you'll have that extra resource kind of floating around, and abilities that will cost a resource, like Kanan's ability to shield a creature or specter, will be pretty live. And putting shields on stuff is pretty good when your opponents don't really have a lot of removal options options to kind of deal with those things that you would have in constructed.
So okay.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
So those are two blue leaders that I think are going to be pretty good. Green
Eivar?
No.
She comes out too late. I think
she comes out too late, and like you need to have.
That was definitely a joke, obviously.
Yeah, but I do think Obi-Wan and Snoke are going to be good, because anytime you're putting experience on stuff, you know, like you're making it better, particularly with units that like with a limited pool of units, and you're just making something that might be like borderline even better. Those will be pretty good. So Snoke allows you to add experience to the the highest power thing in your on the field, and Obi is just given experience token to any unit that doesn't already have an experience token.
So before we go into the best car, the best of each color, like what do you think is like the overall best? And so here's where I'm coming from, and maybe best two or something. And here's where I come from. When I think of draft, I think, okay, what's going to give me the most combinations? What's gonna allow me to what comes out early enough that I can actually use it? You know what I mean? And what gives me the best like potential like color combinations, right? Because combinations keywords. So like for me, every time I go into a draft, I'm always like thinking, all right, if I don't know the set, some type of ambush or red card. Like I always go aggro first as like a just to test the waters. And then another color I actually like is blue a lot because
you have removal.
Or sentinels primarily. So like so that's how when I evaluate like that, what gives me options and what gives me like the keywords that I want, because until I get comfortable with drafting. Again, I'm not an advanced drafter. I'll thoroughly admit it.
I'd say it's just when you do draft, you're getting three leaders and you're going to be drafting those leaders also.
Yeah.
So you do want to consider that part of it too, like what you are giving away and what you're keeping. And then in a draft, you're looking at packs and only taking one card and then passing them around. So you do get to see the cards that you're going to be using, but there's a chance that you're not getting cards that are going to help you in those colors, like you're saying, Gully. You could be getting packs that are all just red cards and you wanted to go full green or something. So,
you do have to adjust to what gets passed to
right.
you.
Yeah, yeah, having options is important.
With that, I want your opinion on a draft card that I was originally thinking is good, but I also might think is bad. And that is Anakin Skywalker. And I say this.
The legendary Anakin?
The leader Anakin Skywalker. Heroism. He comes out at 5, which is pretty early. It's not like 7 or whatever. He has an ability that lets you to play a villainy card from your hand, ignoring the aspect penalty. But he's only mono heroism, so you only get like
one other color.
So you could
for
get
free. Otherwise you're going to be paying for it.
Because
don't forget that you don't pay aspect penalties on anything for the villainy card that you play. So even it's not for units, correct? So like your units will have to be heroic or you're whatever the color that you choose is. But like any villainy events that you pull, doesn't matter what color they are.
So that's what I'm saying. So do you think he's going to be good or bad?
I think he's a little bit too specific, to be perfectly honest.
He's a rare.
But I think here's the thing. He's a little bit too specific, because not only are you limited to a single color and then only heroic, but also you need to have something that generates force. So you need to have force units, and you're going to need to pull them in basically one color.
So do you think the pulling of force, having to pull force, is a bad thing? Like, so for example, Darth Revan, his leader ability, does not rely on the force. Correct. Supreme Leader Snoke, like you said, doesn't rely on the force. It's just resources.
Resources.
Kanan, resource. Do you think it's a liability? Like, do you think it's actually a liability or benefit?
Well, it pigeonholes you into a
specific... it does pigeonhole you.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to plan for it, because otherwise you're getting cards that aren't turned on, or you're getting them at a weaker, you know, curve in a way. Because anything that's using the force to do something is going to be slightly worse stat wise if you just took the text away. Because otherwise, you could probably find a card that's doing something better that doesn't need that force action, right? So,
yep.
When you're drafting, you're going to have to think about that as well. Like, how am I generating the force? Am I getting cards that generate force? Am I getting a rare base that gives me the force? Like, what is it that you're doing to get the force, and how you can synergize that with the other cards you're drafting?
Yeah, and don't forget that all the bases in this set, so therefore all the bases in draft and sealed, are going to have the ability. They're going to be the 28 health bases that say when you attack.
Like you said, Rob, you have to have a force unit attack.
But yeah, but you have to have a force unit.
Some of the rare bases just give it to you, right? So you just have them.
Yeah,
so,
I think each of the rare bases just give it to you in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
But they are all also 25 health, so you're already a little bit lower there too.
I also don't know if I want to waste a slot. Like one of my pick slots for a base, unless you know you're really like lucky.
It might just come back around to you. That's true.
Okay. I know I kind of interrupted your flow in terms of going through the cards, but it's one of those things. This is super exciting. You know, it's a new set. They only do it every 4 months, so like after 2 months, stores are really drying up in terms of draft play. No one really wants to draft after like 2 months. So it's been a while since I know that I've drafted. Here's who I think is going to be one of my top picks, and you already know my biases, right? Third sister.
Yeah. Third. No, I actually was going to say third sister.
Third sister is going to be so fucking. Excuse my language.
She comes out on four, right? Oh no, she comes out on five. She comes out on five, but she gives hidden to everything, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's just an action. So yes, I do think she's actually going to be really good.
Yeah, and unless they have
an aggro player, Gil, she's like straight up like your ideal woman here for you.
Oh man, beautiful.
Playing with in villainy here in draft aspects specifically. Yeah. It's crazy.
She's gonna flip, have hidden, and then what are you gonna do? There's no vanquishes in this deck, right? Like there's no like takedowns like that are being reprinted, I don't think. So it's like
I don't believe there's any straight removal. What? There's like direct damage, but you can't
shatter point.
But Shatterpoint's but I mean like Shatterpoint,
it's mono blue.
Yeah, what do you
I think that's the only one.
Okay, so one
and it's three health or less if you don't have the force. So she's actually safe from it unless your opponent has the force.
Sick. Dude, I'm going for her every single time.
I'm gonna force the
red combination. No, that's messed up. But you know what I mean.
But it's like her and Eighth Brother, and then if you get really freaking lucky and pull an a Grand Inquisitor, like there's gonna be she's gonna be something you're gonna have to think about. And there's enough I believe there's enough red green Inquisitors in this, and then you've also got it will still come out in this, I think, right? The Scythe, because I know it's in the starter deck, but I believe you can still pull them from the packs, right?
Oh, the Inquisitor.
I think all the starter cards can,
Oh, sorry, the special cards, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like Scythe, if you have other Inquisitors, that's going to be really good. Like there, and that's just a mono black. There's a couple other just Inquisitor stuff in here, so like you don't need to focus in on the Inquisitor. Subtext with her, that's the other thing that's kind of nice. But if you start to pull them, they will kind of play well into each other. I was about to start in on red, and I do think third sister is going to be one of them. I also think, again, I know I mentioned him earlier, but I do actually think Kit Fisto in draft will be pretty decent. His ability is basically just open fire on the daring raid on a unit, and you just have it all the time until he flips, and then you're just going to draft Jedi, and there are a million Jedi in this set, so like his when he flips, he's still live, and I think his ability is probably live just because of how many Jedi are getting printed.
I can see the value in draft particularly because also even if it costs one to do this ability, it's two. It allows you to play a little off curve still. Like it's okay if you don't have cards to play, because as long as you get to attack, you can still also have another option to pay two if you don't have the cards in your hand.
Well, it costs one to take to do two damage.
That was it. Is it one?
Yeah.
Oh, it is only
costs
one
to do two
one.
Damage.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going crazy. But
it's daring raid, like you said.
Yeah, it's a free daring raid. That's sick.
Yeah.
For draft,
it's unit only, but yeah.
Yeah, and
but for draft, I think.
And it's... the thing is, like, that forces the opponent to value trade into you. You're like, they're gonna. So that means they're not hitting your base. So that's fine, because eventually you're gonna get units out, and they're all gonna be damaged, right? I see it.
Yeah, I think in draft in particular he'll be pretty decent. Constructed if you get the right card, or sorry, not constructed, sealed. Sorry, concealed if you get the right cards, I think he might be okay as well. But it's really going to depend on what you get out of your packs. And then I really do think Qui-Gon, although he does require the Force, and you're going to have, but he's not the thing. You're also going to have Qui-Gon every single. What was it?
He's not. You can't. He's not in draft packs.
He's not in draft, right, but he's sealed. You're going to have him every single sealed. He is. He's one of the starter. He's the starter they come for pre-release. In the pre-release packs, they come.
I'm thinking sealed events like something else.
Well,
you're talking a pre-release event.
Yeah, pre-release sealed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because that's the majority of the sealed play that we see, frankly. It is the pre-release kits, right? So you're going to get Maul and Qui-Gon in every single sealed event that you played if you're playing a pre-release.
Yeah. I just want to be clear because, like, not everyone, because for me, like, I would not know the difference. So just for everyone out there, sealed is another, like, game format. You get six packs, right? Typically, when they do that, there's, like, a box and then they'll split it up into, like, you know, boxes or whatever, and they'll split up the packs so that you get six. You get to create a deck with the six packs instead of draft where you swap it around. Pre-release events is essentially the same thing, but it's a pre-made kit that the store has to run an event, and in that, well, they also have like a little box and like punch out tokens and stuff like that. So slightly different product that is given to you depending same game format, just different materials are given to you depending on on where you're at. So
you basically just get an extra 2 liters to build off of.
Yeah. So Qui-Gon, and in this case Qui-Gon and Darth Maul.
Maul.
Cool.
Yeah, but I do think Qui-Gon in pre-release sealed is going to be is still potentially going to be very good. Again, it will depend a little bit on what you open up, but his ability is very good.
Oh yeah, just remove things.
Crazy. Yeah.
All right, man.
So those are the ones I'm thinking. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Gil. I think if I see Third Sister, or potentially Kit Fisto, I'll be definitely potentially pulling those aside because I do think those 2 leeches. They also both flip on 5, which is kind of where you want to be with leaders in general. 5 or earlier, 6 if there's a very strong ability that's associated with them, and then if you're beyond that, you need to have a really powerful front side ability or a very powerful flip in order to make them viable. But in draft or sealed, those late flip leaders are not really that viable.
No, for sure. I think that, so the other two leaders that I really like, I don't know if you guys have an opinion on these as well. You haven't really talked about the yellow leaders, but for me, the yellow leader is Cal Kestis. The fact that you just get to exhaust things is really good. It can be powerful. He comes out at 4.
Yeah.
It's just okay. You know, play around it a little bit.
He's a little killable is the only problem. He's a 3/4.
Yeah. A little weak in that sense, but the exhaust is what's really good.
The exhaust is, but again, it does require that you have Force to do it. So it's like there's a little bit of a sequencing thing.
On attack, he also has it. So
yeah, he has it on attack when he's flipped. But again, he's a 3/4, so you might get it once.
Yeah, or just claim right away, attack the base, and then like exhaust.
Whatever, or you just start throwing lightsabers on him.
Yeah, lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but again, do you think that's going to be draw dependent? And a lot of the lightsabers, if I remember, are rare, right? There might be like an uncommon one or two, but I think the majority of them are rare.
You know what's gonna be rare? The lightsaber pack that the top 64 at the Galactic Championships are gonna get. Which me and Corey, I think we're talking about that. Like,
definitely, we got
at least $500 for sure.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's gonna be a grand.
It's gonna
don't throw anything out there. Don't give people ideas.
Yeah, stop that. Stop it.
There are 64 of these things in the world, man.
Dude, okay, so let me put perspective. There are that's not a good example. Because I was gonna use the top card.
There's one ring in the world.
I was gonna use the cards for the championship cards for like PQs, the first PQ. Because there's only like 50 of them or whatever, and like those are only going for 300, but that's only one card. Versus this is a pack of like 9. So
yeah.
I guess we're all putting on red. I guess we're just going to the roulette table in Las Vegas and putting all red $500 in red to pay for the that pack. Also, you got to find someone who's willing to sell it, and then you know, after, and then so you have to like hawk them down.
Dude, Gil, what are you talking about? We're the ones that are people going to ask for them because we already have them because we made top 64. That's what's going to happen.
You guys are going to make top 64. I'm going to be 60 playing a Nintendo 64 in the hotel room while you guys are out there like playing the tournament.
Some GoldenEye action going on.
Oh my god, GoldenEye! What a great card. A card game.
I will say, all right. So for me, you guys talked about a couple. I wanted to mention Obi-Wan as a draft leader. I think is going to be crazy in draft. Just crazy because you're always going to have a unit that doesn't have experience. So you're going to have something to put experience on. And when you put experience on a unit, you're making them tougher, right? You're now changing the curve of that unit. And it's kind of like cheating out something, right? Essentially, like all the, we've seen it before. Any leader that can cheat things out early has been good, except for Dooku, because Exploit was not as good as we thought it was going to be. But if you can cheat things out, it's good. This is somewhat that, where you're paying for a unit and then you're making it stronger right away. For free, essentially, if you have the Force.
Well, Force, so, yeah. It's why I think Snoke is also going to be pretty good, because Snoke
he comes out too late.
Force.
Well, he comes out turn later.
He comes out turn later, but it almost, like, but his ability, that means his ability is on still through there. And again, it's only one cost versus requiring to have the Force.
No,
is always on versus Obi's. If you don't get a Force unit, then you don't have the Force generated, you're not going to be able to use it. So I think
he's also restricted to black cards. Like,
right.
So Obi-Wan can do it to any.
Right. Yeah. So like, again, I do think there's some parity in there. I do think they're both going to be good though.
Yeah, we'll see. Anything that requires another action to do always scares me a little bit. But
there's no like free action leaders in this. I don't think.
No, I get it. And that's by design, because if they just gave you the Force right away, then like it just snowballs too quickly. I think they talked about it in.
Well, the blue base gives you Force. The blue rare one, you just get it started.
And green, you can use an action to just get it.
Well, yeah, you have to. But those are rare bases, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All there's no leader except for Revan that does an ability without having to use an action.
Hmm. Well, I mean, on attacks are always...
Well, when the leader flips, yes, but I'm talking about on the front side.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. I think we exhausted the conversation of this a little bit, or else we'd have an exclusive episode about it, which I refuse. not that I refuse.
We gotta get to our back to basics.
Yeah, we gotta get back to basics. We're getting a little too technical here.
To get a little bit more technical because now we're intermediate, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Good point, good segue. That wasn't planned, so I appreciate it. Let's get on to back to basics part two. Last week we talked about just like really basic stuff about the cards, and like just how to understand like the very foundational parts of the game a little bit. Today we're gonna go a little more advanced. We're gonna talk about archetypes. We're gonna talk about the kind of leaders that exemplify these archetypes, right? And this is a little fluid because the game is still relatively new, so it's not like, I think other TCGs have like, no, this is definitively blah 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 blah, or these are the cards, but like little like blending, you know, it's a little gray. It's not like all absolute like the Sith here. And then we could probably the dogmatic Jedi. Yeah, it's true. Their arrogance led to their fall. Did you know there's like a I don't know if it's old canon, but like the new canon, like the Jedi Temple was built on like a Sith like power source, like
burial ground.
Yeah, like it was like actually one of the reasons why things were so clouded for them was because they were literally on top of like
Coruscant.
Literally on like a dark side like site, and they never realized it, or they forgot about it. So like,
well, it's also why Sidious couldn't find Yoda on Dagobah, because he was next to the Force shield. It was basically cloaking him.
Yeah, it works both ways. Okay, and then we can talk about some keywords probably, because I think talking about those mechanics about keywords is also something that's very important, because even sometimes I forget how things work, like especially when it comes to Sentinel.
It'll cost you matches.
It'll cost you some games, that's for sure. Okay, so I don't know who wants to start, but I guess I'll go first, unless you guys want to go first.
You got it, Gil.
So for me, let's go with the basic. Start with A, aggro, aggressive like type of style of deck and play style. What aggro means is that you are always trying to just hit the base and reduce it as fast as possible, as quickly as possible, with the most efficiency, with the most as efficient as possible. Not many times. This is one of those decks where you're not really interacting with your opponent on the board. You're just trying to do this one thing really well, really hard, really fast. And a deck that really exemplifies this, that's been around for since the beginning, is Sabine Wren Leader ECL. Still does it well. They have a lot of synergies with the traits that we talked about last week. For example, Rebel is a trait. They have cards that do stuff to that, like Rebel Assault, which allows two Rebels to attack one after the other. They each get +1 attack, and that's really powerful for her and that deck. So that's what aggro is really all about. Very basic. Still gets really technical because you have to really be conscious of the counts in your head, right? Because if you miss it off by one, that could lead lead to your downfall, right? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Gil, is you're correct. They're not as simple as people will say, and it's or think they are. They're simple insofar as this is what you do with it. In other words, you attack. You always go to base, or you almost always go to base. But where the technical side of it, or in very good Sabine players will you know, kind of beat you no matter what, or not no matter what, but in 9 times out of 10, you know, is it has to do with what you're resourcing and what you're playing and when, and knowing when to hold things and when to play things and when not to play things. Sequencing is very important. There's a lot of like little technical details that at first glance you're going to be like, oh, I just play a unit and then I attack. Well, yes, but there's more to it than just that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Let's start there. Do you guys want to talk about any of the other archetypes?
I can do our C archetype.
What's that?
I guess is mid-range or B archetype then?
Oh my god. Yeah, let's talk about it. So mid-range. What is mid-range?
It is a deck that drops larger units that will go a little bit longer. One of the things we didn't kind of talk about with aggro is that typically aggro decks want to be done by turn 6 at the latest. Mid-range decks are decks that can go a little bit longer. They're dropping larger units, more resilient units. Oftentimes they're seen as a counter to aggro because you're playing units at a similar cost that will survive an attack or attacking into an aggro based unit, and then you still have a unit left on the board to continue to attack their base with. So you're positively trading into their smaller or more fragile units, and then getting more value out of the units that are left.
Another way to say that would be you're always trying to focus on value trades, right? Value trades where you are always ahead when it comes to it in terms of damage, card advantage, whatever that might be. Mid-range is trying to optimize that. And I think that the other thing is that, like you said, like it's in the name, mid-range. So I don't know if there's what the exact definition of mid-range for Star Wars Unlimited is. I usually think of it as in like turn 6 or 6 resources to like 10 or 11 is what I think, like, where mid-range is. Like, you're trying to win by that point. If you're not, if you
want to be closing out by 10.
Yeah, you're trying to get to 6, closing out by 10 or 11. That's it, because then it gets really hard after that. I don't know if you guys have a different opinion on that, or if there's like an official like thing, but that sounds about right to me, right?
I don't think there's anything official, but no, that's absolutely where you want to be, because you need to survive those aggro decks, like you were saying. If you're losing by turn 6, then you got to switch it up, because that you're not mid range anymore. But if you can get from turn 6 to turn 10, 11, or not turn, but resource, then you're in a good spot, because you're going to have units that are going to cost that amount, whereas those aggro decks usually cap out their unit costs at 6 or 7 at the most. So they're going to
the majority of them are frankly probably like 3 cost, 2 to 3 cost.
Well, the majority, right? I'm saying that's the top end of your, if you have three cards in your deck, that might cost six, right? So as an aggro player and as a mid-range player, you may have cards that cost 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as far as control goes, I can talk about control because Palpatine is one of my favorite. My favorite leader in set one. I love him still. I wish I could play him more regularly, but Palpatine was one of the latest flipping units. So he was absolutely trying to be a control unit leader because you're not getting him out if you're dying before he can flip. But basically what you're doing with control is you're trying to control the board to the point where you are using your base health as a resource. Like, your health is not so much as important to where it's going to like end up being, because you know you have 30, 33, 35 health on your base. You're using that to get to your end game. Once you get to your end game, your win condition, you've won the game. If you can survive to that point. So you're just trying to make sure you're maintaining your position as much as possible in order to get to the units that are, or position that's going to finish the game for you. And so basically your health is a resource in that sense. Your decks are going to keep paying in face, hit in face. You could get up to 27, 28, but then you win the game after that in like two turns.
So let's, sorry, Rob, you wanted to say something.
I was going to say there's one other thing to think about with control decks, and oftentimes they will do what's called ramping, which is getting resources outside of the standard curve. So normally at the beginning of the your turn during the well, it's actually not the beginning of your turn; it's actually the end during the what is it? It's the heck is the name of the phase? It's the third phase. I can't even remember now.
Regroup.
The regroup phase. During the regroup phase is when you will play your next resource for the upcoming turn. So, but what control decks will do is allow you to play an additional resource on your turn. You're using resources instead of playing units or using events or things like that to get you more resources so that you get to that higher resource count quicker than your opponent.
So would you say that one of control's lines of play, so line of play is like the, like when this happens, you do this, et cetera, you know, the back and forth, is that you want to establish dominance through efficient resource management. Whether that be gaining a resource, using a resource, in this sense, we're talking about gaining it. Like, you want to ramp up. That is one of the things that helps you get into the mid game, but also like for end game, which is where control starts to dominate, you want to get there sooner, so you can also you can close the game. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much hits it.
So I now that we've kind of established the three different types of main archetypes, right? We talked about aggro, we talked about mid range, we talked about control. Let's dig a little bit deeper, because even though those are the big three in the triangle, this is where we talked about how there's like a gray area, right? We're not dealing absolutes. Let's go back. Let's snake draft this, and let's go backwards in time. So when we think about control, to me, I only know of two main ways to talk about it: soft control and hard control. But the difference between the two is still relatively unclear to me. It's very subtle. So instead of using ChatGPT, I want to understand what your guys' perspective.
Oh man! I want to shout out something here as far as archetypes, because playing aggro, mid range, and control, knowing what you are in the matchup is just as important as what your deck is supposed to do at the beginning of the matchup, right? So you may be playing Sabine, you may be playing, you know, Han too, but your role can change. And there is an article which Rob teased here by Mike Flores that is called Who's the Beatdown, right? I think that's what it's called. Who's the Beatdown?
Yes.
I would definitely Google search Who's the Beatdown Mike Flores. It is a very cool article that explains the thought process on when and where and how and all that stuff, as far as understanding what role you should be playing in a specific match. So just want to shout that out, because it's a great article.
Yep. As far as like hard control versus soft control, hard control in my mind and what I've always kind of known it as is you often are like not playing units until your end game. You're playing very few units until your end game. You're going to be very event heavy, and events specifically that will focus on either getting you to your end game faster, removal, sometimes like restoring health, you know, things that are going to basically keep you in the game and get you to your end game faster than your opponent, to a point where you can control the board. So a lot of times they will build to something like a super laser blast in this game, which in villain, oftentimes blue villainy is seen as kind of the peak of hard control because of events like super laser blast. Super laser blast removes all units on the board.
So I guess how I would, if I'm understanding correctly, hard control is a style where like you're really focusing on really very few but really strong late game threats, like really big capital ships, really big units, something like that.
Yep.
And to get there, you're not necessarily always using units. You're using alternative ways to control the board, aka events, right? I think that's what you're trying to say as well. Makes sense to me. I agree with that. I would also say, personally, I think that hard control is where you are also trying to utilize an alternative type of winning, a method to win. What I mean by that is that hard control is the deck that mills someone out. And by milling means like they have no cards in their deck. A soft control is not really a mill deck, right? Like that's not one of their winning strategies. They're trying to win by like resource 10, right? Like we kind of talked about, whereas, or 11 or whatever, but like hard control is like, oh, I'm not only am I removing everything, you're also losing all your cards.
Yeah.
As another alternative win strategy.
Hard control's designed like you're gonna have few units, like you said, and those units are gonna be humongous. They're gonna be beefy. They're gonna win the game for you in two turns, essentially. And your
whole goal is something for you that's very advantageous in terms of like getting you more cards or things like that.
Right. And your whole goal with the hard control is to get to that point, right? So that's why your base resource, your health resource, is a resource there in that case. And you're just trying to frustrate your opponent to the point where
they
can't do anything anymore.
they quit. Well, okay. I will say, though, one of the things that is difficult with playing hard control and even soft control to some extent in this game in particular is that time limits. You have to play up to potentially 3 rounds in 55 minutes, and playing a hard control deck, sometimes your individual matches can take upwards of 20 minutes because you are getting to the end of your decks. So if you are playing control, particularly hard control, you need to know your deck very well, because you need to know sometimes you're going to have to, you know, sort of advantageously concede games so that you can, you know, sideboard something in, because you come into a matchup and you know, I'm not going to win this with my base deck. So I might just concede right away and sideboard in what I know I'm going to need so that I don't waste 15 to 20 minutes playing a game that I'm probably going to lose.
Speaking of time limits, we're at 57 minutes, so we're going to speed round the last one or two archetypes, and then we're not going to talk about keywords, but because I'm trying to keep us under an hour. So the other archetype that I think is important to know about is tempo.
Yeah, tempo.
So let's talk about tempo real quick. In 30 seconds, what do we got for tempo?
Okay.
Corey, go.
Well,
not you, Rob. Corey, go.
Yeah, well, tempo is essentially a deck that you're trying to basically change the way that your opponent is playing and give you an advantage to that effect. So exhausting units to make them not be able to do things.
And I was going to say, you're not letting the former Django player talk about tempo? Come on, man.
We have 3 seconds. Go!
Yeah, let's go. So basically that's what we're trying to get the tempo going here. But yeah, tempo, as you said, Django is a great tempo deck. You're exhausting units. You're not letting your opponent do the things that they're trying to do on the turn that they're doing it on curve, essentially. So what you're doing is trying to put them behind the curve while you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. It's about action efficiency, really, in this game. So preventing your opponent from taking actions that they want to take while you are simultaneously doing things that you want to do. The reason Django was so strong and the reason that he's kind of the archetype of a tempo deck is that he got to exhaust something basically for free. It did not cost an extra action. It happened when you did damage that was not combat damage. And you just filled your deck with things that pinged units and you're like, cool, that's exhausted. and your opponent doesn't get to attack with it. And meanwhile, you're dropping big units on the board and attacking and doing everything that you wanted to do while they couldn't do anything in return.
Okay, great. We did it. Last thing, keywords. There are 12 keywords right now. We're not going to talk about any of the new ones, but they are ambush, grit, raid, restore, sentinel, shielded, overwhelm, saboteur, bounty, smuggle, quarry, and exploit. We'll talk about those more next week.
What do you guys think those mean?
I have no idea. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about some lines and stuff, why they matter, what they are. And we'll also add the new stuff in part three next Thursday. Go ahead. We got 25 seconds.
I was going to say, because next week is also the pre-release for Legends of the Force. So we're going to have a bunch of exciting stuff coming up for that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Okay, cool. Now I can take a break. Okay, thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it. This was a very awesome conversation, I think, as always. And until next time, may the Force be with you.